Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long. All on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Warning. This show contains adult political themes and language. Liberals and little children should cover their ears.
Welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps, where negativity never sounded so good. Now here's your host, Thomas Purcell.
Good morning and welcome to Liberty Never Sleeps. Make sure to follow the show on our website at libertyneversleeps.com. Be sure to follow our Twitter feed at Real Liberty Time and join us on Facebook at Real Liberty Never Sleeps on facebook.com. I have to tell you, within the past 12 to 18 hours, I'm astonished at the lunacy of both the left and right wing on Twitter and Facebook about this latest round of, I don't want to call it violent attacks, but serial bombing attacks, which aren't really bombs. I just, everything I'm watching on the news is so misreported. And the conspiracy theorists are out, you know, working double overtime because it's, you know, a few days from an election. And I've never seen so many people say so many stupid things. And it boggles the mind. It really does. Now, before we get into it, I want to talk a little bit about another issue, which kind of relates to it. I had originally planned for today a discussion about the role of God and man and law and that kind of thing. And it's now got to be postponed until maybe the Friday private show or Monday show, because I thought it was important that we discuss the role of freedom of choice, especially when it comes into the election. But it's interesting because it also relates to what we're seeing in the news about violent action. I was watching a show which I thought was relevant to the discussion. It's on Netflix. I don't know if it's available anywhere else than Netflix. It might be available on DVD season one of Daredevil. If you're a Marvel fan or something like that, you would probably naturally tune into it. For those of you who have Netflix, I would encourage people to watch Daredevil. Not because it's a superhero series. It's a Netflix, made for Netflix series about a character, a comic book character, Matt Murdock, who's a lawyer who happens to be blind, and also was gifted, or should I say, an industrial accident, with an ability to see through sonic vibrations. In other words, he's like a bat. In other words, you know, when he hears something, he can actually see it. And it's a really interesting story, not from the perspective that he's a superhero and he battles villains in the city of New York, Hell's Kitchen, New York. But as I read it as a child, or as I should say a young adult, it's a battle between him and his relationship with his God and religion. He's a Roman Catholic. He's Irish Roman Catholic, which appealed to me, of course. And had to deal with the fact that he had this gift, and it was a gift of violence. It was a gift of being able to defend himself in ways that other people couldn't. And his decision was that God gave him that gift in order to be a warrior for God. But as the character developed, both in the comic books and as comic books in general developed and became more sophisticated, more geared toward adults, he has a constant struggle with the fact that Jesus and his Roman Catholicism calls for nonviolence, and his ability to do violence in the name of God or protect people using it. And he had a problem with it. And it's an inner struggle. Now, the show doesn't dwell so much on his superhero activities as some of the graphic novels do. It dwells more on his struggles with dealing with his gift and dealing with his relationship with God. And I found it kind of resonated with me. At what point do we say that good and evil, good becomes evil, that it's a fine line, that violence becomes an act of good or violence is an act of evil? At what point does free will come into play? If there is good and evil, if there's an existence of good and evil, and violence has been around in mankind since Cain killed Abel, right? Since the dawn of man, so to speak. At what point does it become an act of evil when it's an act of good? For instance, in self-defense, right? If somebody comes into your home, breaks into your home, is stealing your things, or acting violently to you or your family, in most states, in most jurisdictions, you have a right to act violently to defend yourself. In most cases in law, if someone assaults you, you have a right to defend yourself. And there's variations, of course, in states. Some jurisdictions you can't. But at what point does self-defense become an act of aggressive violence? And where does that have a role in freedom of will? In other words, are you fated to do this, or are you destined to do this? Or if you have a gift, as the character of Matt Murdock does, at what point does his act of vigilanteism become an act of good or evil? And it's a really fascinating. I would encourage those of you who are not superhero fans, who have not seen this, who have Netflix, to watch it. But you have to watch it from season one. As the character develops, you see his own struggles with what he has to deal with. And in a way, it relates to what's going on today, doesn't it? Because there's a discussion on Facebook, on Twitter, in a number of different pages about the acts of violence in politics. Are the current acts an act of political protest, or are they an act of violence? And at what point does it become justified? You know, they're talking about, I don't know, 10,000, 14,000, 15,000 people marching from Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, coming up through Mexico, going to California. At what point do the American people have a right to defend themselves? And at what point do we rely on government to do it for us? Or at what point do we take matters into our own hands? In other words, if you constantly see this in discussions, if someone is out to destroy your nation, do you have a right to act violently? And at what point does it become that? Now, almost everyone agrees. Almost everyone. There's some wags on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot that don't. But almost everyone agrees that violent acts against our own political leadership is heinous and to be discouraged. I certainly do. There's no reason to act violently against your own leadership when you can vote, when you have an act of voting, when you have an ability to defend yourself or defend what you believe in by simply going to the ballot box. We know it works. The fact that Donald Trump is president in a country that elected also Barack Obama to the presidency, we know that democracy in this country works. We know that a republic form of government, where you have leaders and representation, and we elect people to represent our will in the Senate, in the House, in state legislatures, in the state house and governorships. We know it works. We have a 200 and some odd year history, an example of it working. But when we feel it doesn't work, or we feel it isn't, at what point do Americans go to civil war, for instance? We felt it didn't work during the Civil War. We felt it didn't work because men were enslaving other men. And we couldn't rectify it through the legislative process as defined by our founding fathers. That's why we went to war. We couldn't resolve that dichotomy, the fact that we were a slave nation in a percentage of states, that there were people in this country that believed slavery was okay or was appropriate. And we couldn't resolve it through the process as defined by our founding fathers, through legislatures, through Congress, through presidents, laws. And we had to have a war to solve it. And so the question remains, at what point is it become an act of free will? At what point do we go away from our founding principles, which are Judeo-Christian principles of goodness and a justice system? At what point do we abandon the legislative process? And I want to talk about it today in light of yesterday's revelation that bombs were sent to a number of leaders in this country. Because in my opinion, the process works. In my opinion, our current legislative process has not reached the point where it did in the Civil War, that the issues that are facing America today are not as serious as the situation where half the country was slave and half the country was free, which is a fundamental difference both in the meaning of the Constitution and how we establish our justice system. And I think it's important to discuss today. And that's why I wanted to bring up the show Daredevil, because he is faced with the same decision that the American nation as a whole is. At what point do we say, well, this is what I am and what I have to do and I must act? And at what point, well, you have also free will? At what point do we go the extra point as the character in the show is coming to that point where he's faced with an evil? Does he act beyond that mandate of the law, beyond the act of a public justice system? At what point does defending people become an act of aggression and an act of murder? And he's constantly struggling with it. And I think America as a whole is struggling with it as well. And I think what's going on with these attacks, with these bombs, with these envelopes of white powder, that's something that we need to ask ourselves as a nation. Because both sides are calling for all kinds of things, are spinning wild conspiracy theories, and I want to examine it. Because if you don't, if you just throw up your hands and blame other people, then the situation of our country coming apart, of people cannot act responsibly in their actions, that will get worse. And it will continue to degenerate into a situation which may result in another civil war. And we don't want that. Anyone who has fought in a war, anyone who has seen real violence, finds it abhorrent. Most of the people that call for incivility to the point of war, violence, acts of irresponsibility, acts of violence, have never seen real violence. I've seen real violence. That's why I abhor it. I've seen acts where people get split apart by a punch in the face. It's horrifying. It's nothing like what you see on television, nothing that's been described in any movie that I've ever seen. It's horrifying. It's terrible. And when Americans start to fight other Americans in acts of violence, our civilization, our code of justice, and our nation falls apart. No matter who is right and who is wrong. I want to talk about today. Let's first talk about what's going on. About these packages, these pipe bombs, these letters of white powder. I want to talk about that first, before we get into the relative justification for it or the condemnation of it. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Yeah. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at Patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. Go to LibertyNeverSleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. Just a reminder, we are a crowdfunded show. I would encourage you to give a donation. Some people have asked, well, Tom, when are you going back to showing your show on videotape like other shows do? Other podcasts like to show videotape. I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a big fan of radio. I'm always the first to say I've got a face like a manhole cover. It's not, you know, this is why professional political experts and stuff that are on TV, people on CNN, Fox News, are often attractive people. They want people to look at them, right? They're a television show. And so as a result, you have to be somewhat – I've never had a problem getting dates or anything like that. It's just I'm not, you know, 22. I'm not blonde. I'm not big-breasted. I'm not, you know, chiseled good looks. I'm not Clark Gable. So, you know, I don't know how relevant it is, but there have been a lot of people said, when are you going back? When are you going to do it? Well, as I've said, our office here is doing redecorate, and it's going to take a while because, as you well know, I'm on a budget, and I have to do these things a step at a time. Also because the decorator has said, well, we need to do the paint, and then we need to do the floors because you can't do the floors before the paint. Otherwise, you risk damaging the floors. And then the painter has to come back and do all the trim and doors because after the floors are down, because why? Well, the floors tear up your baseboards. They pull the baseboards off and put down the flooring and then put baseboards on. And then they have to be painted and you want the paint to match. So you got to wait, right? And all that takes time. So somebody has asked me, well, when's your time schedule before we can see you on videotape and new off? It's going to be probably based on the time schedule of what we're seeing. First the paint, then the flooring guy has to come in, then the bookcases and the wall coverings come in. And that's, or I would say summer maybe of next year. You know, Richard Barris, who runs People's Pundit Daily, he's been a great help to us. He covered the situation where we were blocked by Facebook for doing stories about illegal immigration. I was talking with him privately and I said, well, you know, he says, well, I got people asking me, when is he going to do this? When is he going to do that? I want to see his show. You know, I want to see it as a visual. And I said, well, have him donate some money and it'll go faster. You know, it's like if I had the money to do it all at once, I would. Not to mention the fact that I have pets and family and stuff. And so, you know, if you have dogs running through the house, it becomes a situation where, you know, you can't always have the doors open and have eight crews of workmen in at once because they run out and get away and that kind of thing. And it becomes problematic. I said, anyone who asks you that, I'm donate some money to help me do this faster. So, and he laughed about it, and I and whatnot. But I just wanted to give you an update on that. It's probably early spring before I get the office finished. And it becomes something that, you know, you say, okay, this is what I look like. This is my show and whatnot. It's going to have books, you know, books that I've written behind me and stuff like that. Like you see on, like, just about every podcast, they have the money to do these things right away. I don't. I have to do it in a stair step fashion. So that's why the delay. That's why it takes some time. Just to answer all the people that are sending me messages and whatnot in one fell swoop. Anyway, do we have a serial bomber on our hands? So that's the question I asked myself yesterday. And then I said, well, why don't you wait until more facts are revealed? Now, I'm a big fan of this. If you have been a longtime listener, you know that I don't talk about things usually for 24 to 48 hours. And the reason I don't is because all of the early reports are always so terribly wrong. In the rush, in today's rush, to get a story out, because you have to do it in today's world, because people find out about things literally the moment they happen. It's just a function of social media, the fact that we all have cell phones. It was an interesting book on it about flash mobs, but I don't have time to go into it today. Maybe I'll talk about it on Friday's show. When you have that situation, you have a lot of false stories come out. And I'll give you an example. Mario Cuomo, it's been talked about, that there are these seven bombs that have gone out to people, to Hillary Clinton, the Clintons, and other people. I have a list here. I'm going to get into it. I believe there were seven initial bombs, and then it was five bombs. They were alleged bombs sent to I don't have it off the top of my head. The FBI has said George Soros has received them, Hillary Clinton, former President Barack Obama, former CIA Director John Brennan, care of CNN, interestingly enough. They didn't send it to care of John Brennan. They sent it care of CNN. In other words, this is a message being sent to CNN. Former Attorney General Eric Holder. And then they said it is also possible that there were additional packages sent to other locations, including CNN itself. The original story was also including Mario Cuomo. You know, I'm so old-fashioned. Governor Cuomo, the current governor of Cuomo. And there were others that were involved too. And it turned out, no, that was false. That they didn't receive packages. That they didn't receive pipe bombs in the mail. That originally it wasn't sent to Wasserman Schultz. It was sent to Hillary Clinton and Soros. And the reverse label was to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And everyone's making a big deal how about it. It's like an attack on liberals. That it's something motivated by something Trump said. Well, people seem to forget there was these same powder attacks, which fake ricin, which is a chemical that is poisonous, or fake anthrax, another biological terror weapon. They were also sent to Donald Trump's home, Susan Collins, Ted Cruz, James Mattis, even President of the White House itself. They were all intercepted at the postal delivery or warehouse or distribution center, it should be noted. The second round of attacks, which was against Soros, Clinton, Obama, John Brennan, included a manufactured pipe bomb. Well, it turns out this morning, within 12 hours, that none of these attacks, both the attacks that were fake on Susan Collins and Ted Cruz, and also the current ones, which included a pipe bomb, where it wasn't a pipe bomb. It was some sort of manufactured item to make it look like a pipe bomb. Now, the Homeland Security and NYPD haven't been entirely clear on this. They said that they probably wouldn't have exploded, but they contained dangerous materials. In other words, they were manufactured for a shock factor, for the salaciousness of it. In other words, to create media controversy. But there's nothing to indicate the political ideology of the sender. In fact, the packages, the pipe bombs, had a fake ISIS flags that said get her done with Donald Trump's picture on it or something like that. I don't know the exact. I showed pictures of it on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. There's no indication of the political ideology, but let's say it was. Let's say the political ideology of both attacks on Trump administration officials and on the left-wing leadership. Let's say they are political in ideology. whoever it is responsible for this, is obviously mentally ill. Now, I said this about the Alexandria shooting, which was a real assassination attempt on the heads of Congress, on the Republican head of Congress. On Steve Scalise, Jeff Flake was there, famously, because he was the one who was, like, nominated to talk to the press about it. That was a real attack. Real people were shot up. Steven Scalise was almost killed. Still has medical problems resulting from it. All of these things are not acts of political ideology. They're acts of mental illness. The Alexandria shooter guy was clearly mentally ill. He drove two states to do this. The acts of what was happening in the last couple of weeks with these fake packages of white powder or these pipe bomb attacks kind of thing. None of them exploded, by the way. None of them were deemed immediately dangerous, but they contained dangerous materials and designed to create the story. That's an indication of mental illness. That somebody has got it in their head to become famous or to create a media controversy. I believe, personally, I mean, not to start any conspiracy theories, but that the fake ricin and anthrax to Susan Collins and Ted Cruz and some of these others, Donald Trump Jr., I think is the same person. Now, they're not going to talk about this publicly because there's an investigation going on. Maybe I shouldn't. But it suggests to me someone is trying to get attention. That's somebody who's mentally ill. And there's this wild conspiracy theory that somehow Democrats are sending these packages to themselves. Now, I don't believe that in a minute. Do I believe that these packages were designed to create a media story? Oh, yeah, that I believe in. Do I think it's designed to intimidate or frighten people? Yeah, it's done for that. I just don't know what the goal of it is. Nobody who supports Donald Trump in any kind of realistic point of view is going to do something like this because, as you well know, I've talked about this many times, violent attacks empower those that you attack. Violent attacks against government empowers them because what does government respond with? Violence. What did the Antifa attacks or riots accomplish? Very little, other than people began to turn against the left wing. What will these pipe bombs accomplish? Very little, really, when you think about it. It won't intimidate any of the people that they sent the bombs to, but it will encourage the media to gin up the story in an effort to tamper with the election. That's the truth. It's not so much about the bomber as it is about advocacy of that kind of behavior. Because when the media reports it and the media comes out, and Zucker himself, the head of CNN, he made a statement which was incredibly irresponsible for a journalistic leader. He said, here, let me get the exact quote, because I believe it's totally irresponsible. He says, "There is a total and complete lack of understanding at the White House about the seriousness of their continued attacks on the media. The president, especially the White House press secretary, should understand that their words matter. Thus far, they have shown no comprehension of that," says Jeff Zucker, president of CNN Worldwide. What are you, out of your mind, Jeff? Hillary Clinton herself, just a couple weeks ago, was saying, "We have a responsibility to be incivil to each other." That how can you be civil to someone who's trying to destroy everything that you believe in? Maxine Waters was out screaming for all kinds of things. They're intimidating people like Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz out of restaurants. Press Secretary Sanders has also been attacked in a restaurant. What are you talking about, the White House? The only indication that I've ever seen, which is pointed at the White House, was an incident involving paid protesters at a Trump campaign rally who went into the campaign rally and picked a fight with Trump supporters. And then people took it upon themselves to defend themselves and throw a punch at one of these agitators or activists. And then when the guy was arrested for it, but not the agitator, Donald Trump says, well, I'll pay for your legal bills because you have a right to defend yourself. And we do. Self-defense is not an act of violence. I want to talk about that further. I want to talk about this concept that it's okay to be violent when you're advocating because your cause is just. We'll be right back. What is political violence? We've had political violence in this country for since its in beginnings, since Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton shot it out. Hamilton was killed. That's nothing new. Political violence has been with us from the beginning and has been consistent narrative in the American lexicon. It has been. There have been people acting violently, saying all kinds of horrible things. That's nothing new. And it's always been about politics. Just recently, there is this movement, the quote-unquote, the resistance. Resistance to what? Donald Trump, the Republican Party, all are legitimately elected under the laws of this nation. What are you resisting? All you have to do is go to the ballot box. You know, the same people that are saying that they're members of the resistance, that we need to do something about Donald Trump, we need to stop Trump, we need to stop the Republican Party, those are the same people that don't vote. If you look historically at the last, I don't know, four or five elections since Barack Obama got elected, if you look at who's voting, what the demographic is, the people that are belonging to the resistance, which are mostly young millennials, right, don't vote. As a percentage of the population, as a percentage of the electorate, these are the people that are most hostile to Trump and its leadership are also the ones that aren't voting. So what are you talking about? You want to really want to change things, go to the ballot box. I'm a firm believer that I'm not afraid of the majority of Americans going to the ballot box. I'm concerned that most of them are uneducated and misinformed about facts, but I'm not concerned about the actual process. I believe in the process because I believe that the vast majority of Americans are largely apathetic about politics, and that's why they don't vote. But they're also fairly conservative, not so much on social issues, but on economics, on basic understandings of what right and wrong is. I don't believe that the screaming memes, the social justice warriors, the blue-haired women, the PETA members, the rabid fanatics that are screaming about I don't believe they represent the majority of the American people. I firmly believe that the silent majority exists. That the vast majority of Americans have a very conservative lifestyle. They go to work, they come home, they pet the dog, kiss the wife, kiss the kids goodnight, and then they do it all again tomorrow. And they don't really care about politics. A lot of people don't. But there's this ideology that it's okay to be violent if you're in the right. And I'll give you an example. The quote-unquote punch a Nazi movement, which is a large part of the resistance, that it's okay to punch somebody if they're a Nazi, or it's okay to be violent towards someone if they're a KKK member or a racist or whatever name you want to label someone, that's okay. Hillary Clinton herself a couple weeks ago said, well, how can you be civil to people that are just trying to destroy everything you believe in? Well, it's easy. You're a politician. You're a leader. You should be calling for civility. Maxine Waters, we got to get them. Impeach 45. All kinds of horrible statements. Then all of a sudden, when there's some blowback, when somebody actually gets it in their head that it would be cool or funny or somehow pressuring these leaders by sending them fake bombs, or I shouldn't say they're fake bombs because they're made from legitimate materials, but bombs that are never intended really to go off. If somebody gets in their head that that would be a cool thing to do, suddenly now all of a sudden Hillary comes out, oh, you know, this lack of civility in politics is terrible. I haven't heard anything coming out of Maxine Waters lately. And maybe that's what they were trying to accomplish. They were trying to shut up people calling for things like punch a Nazi. Or people saying that, oh no, we need to have more violence in our society. Because that's what you're saying. When you're saying that it's hard to be civil, when they're trying to say that, you're calling for violence. You're saying that it's okay to hit someone or act violently. And we're starting to see it too, aren't we? People screaming and yelling at people. The attack in Alexandria, the shooting. I myself have experienced a swatting incident. That's what the left has brought us. Now, I'm not suggesting that the left leadership, that Hillary Clinton and Maxine Waters, condones it, because they have, when confronted with questions, when they are able to answer, when they don't ignore the reporter asking it, they said, well, no, I'm not calling for violence. But you are, when you say that, you just don't want to admit it publicly. They don't really believe that. They just want you to believe it. They want you to get angry. They want you to do something about it. And then if somebody gets hurt in the process, oh, well, it's justified because they're a racist, they're a Nazi, they're a KKK member. It's not okay to act violently towards someone because of their political beliefs. It's never okay. And don't give me the argument, well, that's what we did in the Revolutionary War, that we acted violently against the king because we didn't know. That didn't happen. There was no process for American colonists to bring their grievances to their king. They had no representation in Parliament. They also had an occupying force, the British Army, which was attempting to disarm them violently. There were shooting incidents long before 1776 happened. Violent acts, ships being seized, guns taken away from people, horrific tortures and imprisonment for people who resisted the British Empire. It was an entirely different situation. It's not the same thing. You can change things by going to the ballot box, by mass democracy, by consent, by governance, by representation. You do not have the right or justification for any kind of violence, no matter what the other person believes in. Despite what Hillary Clinton says, or did say up until all this stuff happened in the last 24 hours, it is never right to act incivilly to other people. Having a legitimate discussion or saying you're angry about the way the direction the government is going, or you don't want somebody to be your leader, that's okay. That's political discourse. And it can be as, quote unquote, incivil as you like. You want to call somebody a name. You want to say they're wrong, they're stupid, they're irrelevant. Their argument is stupid or inane. We all make jokes about people like Alexandria Cortez, about Bernie Sanders, about their inattention to facts and math. That's okay. I firmly believe that. I don't believe there's any such thing as civility in political talk. I believe you could say whatever you want. We have freedom of speech in this country, despite what Twitter and Facebook are trying to do. Somehow enforce their own idea of civility in discourse, in public discourse. Words, in effect, don't matter. Saying that I think you're wrong because you're spending too much money, because your social programs don't work. I think you're an idiot because you say that you want to give away health insurance and college education and you have no way to pay for it. Those are all discussions. And then, yeah, they sometimes get less than civil. But that's not an excuse to go out and hit somebody. That's not an excuse to wear a black mask, raid a city, direct traffic, enforce your rule, and then smash windows and turn over cars and burn homes in response to the justice system saying, no, you can't do that. That's not okay. That's against the law. That's why we have a justice system. If you have a grievance, you take it to court. You say, well, this guy said something that was libelous. This guy said something that was slanderous. We have laws for that. And you can take it to court. And you can work through the system. It's never okay to don a mask, hide behind one, riot, act violently, strike another person, or send pipe bombs, or ricin, or fake powder, or any of these other attacks. That's never okay. That's advocacy of violence in any form, insofar as political thought is concerned, is improper. And that's why we've called out on this show people like Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, and others. These are people advocating for that kind of behavior. When Donald Trump says, hey, I'll pay for your legal bills if you defend yourself from someone acting incivilly, of someone pushing and shoving, that's a little different. That's not advocating for violence, no matter what Mr. Zucker thinks. Okay? Sending ricin to General Mattis is not an act that's okay. Hundreds of rocks have been thrown at Trump supporters in the last couple of years. That's not okay. People think it's, well, it's okay because they're Nazis. Well, it's okay because they're Republicans and they're racist. No, it's not. And people in leadership positions, people like Maxine Waters and Hillary Clinton and others, who say it's okay because Trump said something, are wrong. Because it's resulting in violent attacks. There was a switchblade knife attack on a House GOP candidate. His name was Rudy Peters. That wasn't even hardly reported on. Nobody said anything about that. Why isn't the media reporting that? There were attacks on Donald Trump Jr., the president of the United States, arson at a GOP office in Wyoming, vandalism of GOP offices in New York City and Phoenix here. That's not okay. And I haven't heard one liberal, I haven't heard one person on the Hillary Clinton, Maxine Waters side of the argument, I haven't heard anyone say, oh, that's wrong. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. That's irresponsible. I have heard the president say it. I have heard the president say we're going to prosecute the people who did this to the fullest extent of the law. And that's still not enough. That's still not enough for the left. Oh, he's irresponsible. Oh, he said this thing in a campaign rally. Meanwhile, the left is out there every day advocating for violence. Madonna, for instance, was calling to bomb the White House. Kathy Griffin holding up a severed presidential head. Do I have to go down the list? The advocacy of violence in our society is coming from the left, not the right. No one on the right wing seriously believes that sending a fake bomb or a pipe bomb or explosive devices or powder in the mouth, no one seriously believes that's going to accomplish anything. That's why I think it's a person who's mentally ill. And I don't think that it's somebody that's sending it to themselves. That's nonsense too. Could it be someone trying to gin up support for the Democrat Party? Oh, that's possible. That's entirely possible. I don't think Hillary Clinton or Maxine Waters sent the bombs to themselves. I don't think Debbie Wasserman Schultz did it. That's a conspiracy nut theory. I don't think it was people that are working for the Democrat Party any more than I think that it's people working for the Democrat Party that are paying money to these caravan people. Do I think it's people who support them? Yeah. Yeah, I do. But that's an entirely different matter. That's why you have to call it out when you see it. That's why people who have said these things publicly need to pull it back and say, no, that's not what I meant, and need to do it in as forceful manner as they did to call for it. Because self-defense is a very different issue. Let's talk about that next. We'll be right back. self-defense. That's really not what people are doing now. Sending pipe bombs in the mail, sending white powder, that's not self-defense. It's not self-defense to go down to the border with a gun to defend against innocent women and children and other people coming from third world countries. That's not necessary. It's not self-defense. We have law enforcement, and they're on their way down there. They're not coming into this country in any means other than through the court system. No one is suggesting that they're going to march on San Diego in order to get in. What they're going to do is turn themselves into the Border Patrol. And they're going to swell our court system and try and flood it by claiming that they're asylum seekers. There's no reason for people to go down to a border with a weapon, though. Is it a threat to our society? Oh, yeah. Is it a threat to our laws and our justice system? Oh, yeah. But that's a threat that's just handled through the ballot box. It's a threat that's handled by the military. It's handled by the court system. That's what it's there for. When you start to act beyond that, then it doesn't become an act of self-defense. It becomes an act of vigilantism, which is never something I would support. But saying you can defend yourself from someone acting in a riotous manner, that's okay. If you're walking down the street and a couple of black masked thugs call you out because you're a white Caucasian male and throw a rock at you, you have every right to defend yourself. I don't care what the laws of the jurisdiction are. You know, in a lot of jurisdictions, you're not allowed to defend yourself. If you get in a fist fight or situation like that, you're held responsible. You can't fight back. They teach children that in school. You're not allowed to fight back. That's bullshit. Self-defense is always an act of civility. It's an act of peace, not an act of violence, because you're trying to stop the situation that you've been forced into. When somebody throws a punch at you, you have every right to strike them back. That's what Donald Trump was talking about at those campaign rallies. You have every right to defend yourself. There are people coming into those rallies at the time, during the campaign, that were attempting to disrupt it and act violently. Don't you remember there was a guy that actually ran onto the stage of Donald Trump and tried to grab his legs, and the Secret Service had to stop him? He had every right to defend himself. So did the people of that crowd. That's not incivility. That's not an act of violence. And you have to understand the difference. That's what bothers me about the left. You're not allowed to defend yourself. You're not allowed to act in self-defense. They're teaching our children that. That's astonishing to me. If I had a child and he was in school and somebody said to me, hey, this kid punched me, I'd say, go hit him back. That's how you stop violence. That's how you stop incivil behavior, believe it or not. Because when people get it in their heads that they can't go around punching people or threatening people, throwing rocks at people, because then they're going to get punched, then it will stop. That is an act of peace. That's an act of self-defense. If somebody comes into your home, breaks in, not just invites in, and takes your stuff or threatens your family, you have every right to defend yourself with lethal force if necessary. I firmly believe that. That's why here in Arizona, we allowed that. We're allowed to defend yourselves. If somebody comes into your home, it's castle law. That doesn't give you a right to go around shooting people, but it does give you a right of self-defense. That's a fine line. It's determined in a court of law when circumstances are examined. Well, were you threatened in a certain way? Well, yeah, he broke into my home with a baseball bat, broke through my windows. Well, then, yeah, you're right. If your neighbor yells at you and then you go over and jump on him on his lawnmower like they did to Rand Paul, that's not self-defense, okay? That's an act of violence. And I want to clear it up once and for all. Trump never called for violence. He called for self-defense and said, yeah, acts of self-defense are justified because they're actually acts of peace. They're an act trying to quell the situation. It's not an escalation. If a bully is bullying you, you have a right to defend yourself. That's how you stop a bully, by the way. I remember as a child, for those of you who went to school with me and listened to my show, you know full well, went to Catholic schools. What did they teach you in Catholic school? What did the priest who ran the school, or you know, the Monsignor, what did he do? If two kids had an argument and he caught them, in other words, he would grab them by the scruff of the neck, drag them into the rectory or the office, put gloves on them and say, fight it out now. And sometimes they did. A lot of times they didn't. A lot of kids suddenly realize, I don't want to do that. That's what I was taught in the Young Marines. That's what they did to us. I said, oh, you guys like to fight, huh? Oh, you like to argue. Oh, you want to throw a fist fight. Well, then do it like a man. You put on gloves and everybody gets in a ring and you fight it out. And you know what happens in that situation? If they do fight it, if they suddenly realize how stupid they were and they decide to fight it out, and one will win, one will lose, or you'll beat yourself senseless, they become the best of friends. You know why? Because suddenly you have respect for each other as an individual. You've stopped dehumanizing. You see them as an individual too. That's what happens. That's the psychological effect. The best friends are usually one who is bullying and the bully when they fight it out. And you'll find that the bully stops being a bully too. They don't teach that anymore. And so our society has grown to accept other people being bullies and then just saying, well, you got to walk away. No, that's not the answer. I'm sorry. I'm a Roman Catholic and a Christian, right? But I don't believe in turning the other cheek. I'm a firm believer in defending yourself. I know people will hate me for it. I know that I'm told I'm wrong by nuns and priests alike, by the catechism. But I got to tell you, from a psychological point of view, from a human point of view, defending yourself is a little different. And it brings about more civility in the end. And that's really what we all want, right? We all want us to sit down, have a cup of coffee and say, no, I think you're wrong for that reason. I think you're wrong for this reason. I've lost 30-year friends over this. They can't be civil to one another. If I say, well, you're wrong because I believe this, this, and this, and I think Bernie Sanders is an idiot, or I think Donald Trump is an idiot, I accept that. That's okay. We have a discussion. Then we have a hamburger together or an argument together. And no arguments. I mean, I went to college with people. We would have arguments late into the night about who was right and who was wrong. This was in the era of the Reagan era. If you remember, Reagan was a very divisive president because he believed in these kind of things, the same kind of things that Donald Trump talks about. We would have arguments late into the night. It never came to the point where they didn't want to be friends anymore. We would go out the next day and play football together, we would laugh, we would joke, we would get drunk together. But somehow things have changed as society has changed. We're no longer allowed to defend ourselves. Defending the person or the ideology that you believe in is now considered an act of hostility and incivility. When did that happen? When did it happen that me saying I believe in that Donald Trump is right, or I believe that Bernie Sanders is right, or I believe that Hillary, was that an act of incivility? When was it that you said, I don't want to be friends with that person anymore? There were people that supported Walter Mondale when I was in college, thought he was the best thing ever. And I thought Ronald Reagan was. I recognized him for what he was. He was a historical president. People would say, oh, I think you're wrong because Reagan is an idiot. Reagan is going to war. And we used to have discussions late into the night about our acts in Nicaragua and what we were doing down in Costa Rica and whatnot, what the CIA was doing. And I said, well, I didn't support that kind of event, and I didn't support this, and I do support that. But we never stopped being friends. But now it's happening left and right. Unfriending on Facebook, blocking on Twitter. People can't stand it anymore. Why? Well, because society has changed. Society no longer teaches us that self-defense is civil behavior. They say that's incivility. Facebook and Twitter ban people for quote-unquote acts of incivility, talking about things that you shouldn't be talking about. That's an act of communism. That's what communists used to do. They used to shut down freedom of speech by saying, no, you're not politically correct. That's where political correctness came from. And so now, people now equate speaking your mind or taking a position on one side of the aisle as other as the same thing as sending a pipe bomb or sending ricin in the mail or anthrax or whatever it is they're sending. I don't know. From what I understand, none of these things are the real McCoy. Thankfully. Thank God. If that was, then things really would be out of control. But they're equating that. That's what Jeff Zucker said. Well, President Trump talked about violence. That kind of talk breeds this. No, it doesn't. Not at all. That's what I'm bothered by suggesting that speaking your mind or defending a political position, that's the same thing as calling. That's not the same thing as calling. You want to talk about calling for violence, saying that you can't be civil to someone because of what they believe in. You want to talk about encouraging violence. Let's talk about all these celebrities which are calling for punching a Nazi. Oh, it's okay. Because there were a number of incidents where people were getting punches thrown. They were on Facebook, they were on YouTube, and people were celebrities, well-known people with millions of followers. Yeah, that's okay because that guy's a racist. Yeah, that's okay because it's okay because he's a KKK member. No, it's not. That's not an act of self-defense. And it's not the same thing as saying I support Donald Trump or I support Bernie Sanders. It's not. We've mixed the two, and as a result, society is starting to break down. I firmly believe that. It's not because we're incivil to another. It's not because of social media. It's not because, oh, we're suddenly worse than we ever were. That's nonsense. We've always been terrible people. As I said, it goes back to Hamilton and Burr if you really want to talk about political and violence, right? We used to duel things out with pistols. So don't tell me now it's somehow different. What's different now is our acceptance and our equation with verbal talk and freedom of speech with actual violence. That's changed. Because we're teaching it even in our schools that you can't defend yourself. Somebody throws a punch at you, you're supposed to walk away. What are you talking about? That's going to encourage him. Because that's what the bully wants. Wants power. And when that power is denied to a bully, then the bullying stops. You're empowering those people when you say to walk away. Never walk away. Fight back. But that act of self-defense is not an act of violence. It's an act of civility in the end. And it should only be done in self-defense. Never strike first. Ever. And you know, when people are saying to me, oh, what the Revolutionary War, as I said, that's not an issue. That's not an act of self-defense. That's not an act of political violence. It's an act of desperation because those people were being violently oppressed. It's an act of self-defense. And what has happened because of the American Revolution, which was a violent act, an act of self-defense? We've had 200 plus years of civility, haven't we? America has been largely, if you look at it from a historical point of view, we've had a transition of power like no other country, peacefully, through a process that has remained intact for literally hundreds of years. That hasn't happened since the Roman Empire. That's an enormous accomplishment. We got to take a break. I got to talk about one last thing about conspiracy theories. We'll be right back. Gifts of all sizes help to ensure that Liberty Never Sleeps remains a relevant, vital resource across our nation. More than 70% of the funding for Liberty Never Sleeps comes from our listeners through the generosity of membership support by donating at patreon.com. Join our Insiders Club for $10 a month and gain access to private shows and editorial columns. go to libertyneversleeps.com and click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page or on the button at our Facebook site. Thank you for your continued support. Okay, we only got a few minutes left. I'm tired of all these, like, I mean, it's laughable, all these Columbo stories on Twitter and Facebook. Oh, the Democrats did this to gin up support. Oh, the conservatives are doing it to make Democrats look stupid. You know, that everyone's a Columbo. Oh, you know, look, that's an ISIS flag, and this was made in a certain way, and, you know, this kind of thing. Now, I do believe that it was a – nobody sends a time bomb in the mail. I knew right away when I saw that, something ain't right. That was not an act designed to hurt or kill anybody or an act of mass murder like the situation in Alexandria, which really was an act of violence. It was an act of look at me, get some attention. To gin up a media story, right? But everyone's a Columbo. Everyone's like analyzing it. Well, you know, the caps at either end don't really work, and you wouldn't hook up wires in the ceremony. Well, that's not important. The important thing is somebody sent it to create a media sensation, obviously. Since the bombs, and they're now saying, weren't operational. In other words, they weren't really very sophisticated. They were just kind of an attempt and knew, and anyone who sent it would know the way they sent it, it was going to be caught by mail authorities. And so therefore, it's a media thing. And everyone's like, it's not important how the thing was built. It's not important that there was a timer on it or this kind of timer. Stop with the conspiracy theories, okay? It's some wacko, and they're doing it because it I don't know, whatever's in their mind is somehow going to support whatever cause that they, in their wacko mind, seems to exist. That's what you need to understand. It's the guy's dumb or mentally ill. This is not anybody who really is going to accomplish anything. He's trying to get attention. Or she, might be a she. It's just, statistically, it's probably male. Or maybe males, or several people. Maybe it's a group. Maybe it's a group outside the country, too. Trying to get us to all fight with one another. You ever think of that? Because that's what the Russian intelligence operation was intended to do. To get us all fighting with each other. So maybe we should do that. Maybe we should stop with the media stories. Okay? Mr. Zucker? Maybe we should stop with the sensationalism of these quote-unquote MAGA bomber. Because that's a hashtag. An actual hashtag on Twitter. That's why I'm starting to create funny memes about it. Because we should be laughing at it. Any attempt to get us to fight with one another. They're trying to create a second civil war. The enemies of our nation. It's not about right and left. As I've often said with the Mueller investigation in Russia. It's not the enemy that Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not the enemy. Hillary Clinton is not the enemy. The enemy are the people trying to get us to fight with them. The enemy is the Russians. That's who the real problem is, or the Chinese, or whoever it is. I don't care whatever Columbo conspiracy theory you have. It's somebody trying to get us to fight with one another. So maybe we should all stop talking about each other in little special interest groups and remind everybody we're all Americans. Maybe we should stop talking about who's right, the blacks, Black Lives Matter movement, or it's wrong to show the Dixie flag, or it's wrong to do this, or wrong to... Maybe we should stop fighting with one another. Maybe we should stop dividing each other and start acting like a team against the people who really are trying to damage this country, people outside it. That's the enemy. And just a reminder, both right and left, you need to call those people out. The enemy isn't Donald Trump, it's Russia. The enemy isn't Hillary Clinton, it's people who are outside this country. Maybe Soros. You know, like Soros gets a lot of fucking blame, man. That guy, he's just one of many. He's not the only guy doing that, funding groups that are trying to divide America apart. I do know that for a fact. He's not even shy about it. I mean, the if you look at the donations, where the money is going, it's just to divide America, because he's trying to weaken America. And other people like him. There are others doing the same thing that he's doing. He's not the only one. And those are the enemies of this country. Because they don't want America, a strong America, a united America. They don't want a free people living in a free market state with capitalism as their economy. They don't want that. They want a socialist state. They want everyone living in little boxes and worshiping at the altar of the state. I don't. We walked away from that in 1776, and I see no reason to go back to it. So the enemy is not people like Hillary Clinton. The enemy is not people like Donald Trump. They come and go. There will always be crooks. There will always be political manipulators. There will always be people trying to game the system. They come and go. The people that are outside this country, those are the real threat. People like Vladimir Putin, people like George Soros. These are enemies of the United States. People like that run the EU. People at the UN. People like the Iranians government I'm talking about. They're trying to harm America. They're trying to establish their own power and their own authority. Those are the enemies, not each other. We're all Americans. Anyway, we're out of time for today, and we're out of time for the week. For those of you who are larger donors to the show, I'll talk to you on Friday about this in a private fashion. I'm also probably going to send out another round of PDFs. I meant to do it earlier this week. I promise I'll get it done by this weekend. Of people who are large donors to the show, you're going to get little packages either by Amazon through the email or through actual mail. I'm afraid to send packages right now, right? So I'm not going to be sending it. I'll send them out in the PDF form to those of you. Or if you have a Kindle reader or whatnot, I'll send stuff to you. For you, it's like outside reading, stuff I've written in the past. I'll get a batch out, I promise. Anyway, we're out of time. Take care, folks. Have a good one.
Want entertainment designed just for you? Then check out customizable streaming TV from Xfinity. It makes your life simple, easy, awesome.
Xfinity gives you customizable streaming TV options. Enjoy the most free shows anywhere on any device, and even access your streaming apps right on your TV with X1. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today to learn more. Restrictions apply.